Wow, you really sent us some incredible material this time. This lecture by Dr. Tiberius Rada on Old Testament theology, I mean, talk about a deep dive. But hey, that's what we're here for, right? We've dug into it, and I think we've pulled out some truly fascinating stuff to share.
It can seem a little, academic at first glance, I'll admit, Old Testament theology,
Yeah.
but really it's about understanding how we think about and interpret the Old Testament.
Yeah, and Dr. Rada does a fantastic job of laying out how scholars have approached this over the centuries, really different ways of looking at it.
And I think for anyone who's serious about understanding the Bible, and especially the Old Testament, this is crucial stuff.
Totally. So, ready to dive in.
Let's do it.
All right, so right off the bat, Dr. Rada makes a really important point. He says that for us as Christians, people who believe in Jesus Christ, approaching the Old Testament isn't just some kind of neutral exercise.
Right, it's not like we're just objectively analyzing some ancient text. Our understanding is deeply shaped by, the whole story of Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection.
Exactly. It's like we're coming to it with a certain lens, a certain perspective. And that leads to what's called biblical theology, but with a focus on the Old Testament specifically.
Makes sense. So how does Dr. Rada actually define biblical theology?
Well, he brings in some helpful voices from church history. Like he quotes Gerhardus Voss, who described Old Testament theology as a branch of exegetical theology that deals specifically with God's self-revelation in the Bible.
Okay, now those are some big words. Exegetical theology, self-revelation. What do they actually mean in this context?
Good point. It's important to unpack that. So, exegetical theology essentially means that we're building our theological understanding directly from the text of the Bible itself.
So it's not about bringing our own ideas to the text and kind of imposing them on it.
Right, exactly. That would be what's called eisegesis, reading our own assumptions into the text. Instead, with exegesis, we're letting the Bible speak for itself.
I see. And self-revelation, that implies that the Bible is more than just human thoughts, right?
Absolutely. It's the idea that God actually chose to reveal himself, to show us who he is and what he's like through the scriptures.
Got it. So it's not just about human authors writing stuff down, it's about God communicating through them.
Right on. Now, Dr. Rada also brings in another definition from a theologian named Ebeling, who describes biblical theology as theology that accords with the Bible.
Okay, that one sounds pretty straightforward.
It does, but as Dr. Rada points out, there's actually a lot packed into that seemingly simple statement. He mentions that this whole concept of biblical theology as a distinct field of study, it actually developed later in church history.
Oh, really? That's interesting. I just assumed it had always been around.
I know, right? But apparently, it was really after the Reformation in the 17th century that it started taking shape. And Dr. Rada points to Johann Philipp Gabler as a key figure in that development. In fact, he's often called the father of biblical theology.
Okay, so what was Gabler's big contribution? What did he do that was so significant?
Well, he wrote this book with a very long and descriptive title, A Discourse on the Proper Distinction Between Biblical and Dogmatic Theology and the Correct Delimitation of Their Boundaries.
Wow, they weren't messing around with short titles back then, were they?
Not at all, but that title actually tells you a lot about what he was trying to do. He was basically arguing that we need to clearly distinguish between biblical theology, which he saw as fundamentally historical, and dogmatic theology, which is more about organizing truth topically.
Okay, so what's the difference there? How is biblical theology historical?
Well, Gabler said that to really understand God's revelation in the Old Testament, you have to follow it as it unfolds through history.
So you're not just jumping around picking verses from different books to make a point. You're looking at how the understanding of God developed over time.
Exactly. He warned against taking verses out of their historical context. He stressed the importance of looking at each book of the Bible, understanding when it was written, and paying attention to the way the message is expressed.
So it's really about careful interpretation, taking into account all those factors.
Absolutely. And that connects back to Voss's emphasis on exegetical theology. It's all about drawing meaning from the text itself in its context. And interestingly, Dr. Rada points out that Gabler herself wasn't completely happy with the term biblical
Well,
theology.
what did he prefer?
He actually thought it should mean something more like an in-depth analysis of individual biblical books and a comparison of how they express their ideas. So, really focused on that close textual work.
So he was all about that deep dive into the text itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dr. Rada then goes on to talk about how biblical theology fits into the bigger picture of theological study. He describes it as a kind of bridge. It comes after that initial careful reading of the texts, but before we jump to building those big systematic theologies.
So you do the work of understanding the individual pieces first, and then you can start to see how they fit together into a bigger picture.
Exactly. Gabler saw it as a crucial step in between. You know, first you do the hard work of understanding the individual texts in their historical context, and then you can start drawing those wider systematic conclusions.
I see. So it's not that biblical theology and systematic theology are opposed to each other, but they have different roles to play.
Right, and they build on each other. Dr. Rada even uses a helpful example to illustrate this historical progressive approach. He talks about the idea of God as creator.
Okay, I'm following. So how would we approach that idea through a biblical theology lens?
Well, following Gabler's logic, we would start in Genesis, see how creation is described there, and then trace that theme through other Old Testament books.
So, like, how does Psalms talk about creation? How about Isaiah? Are there any new nuances that come up?
Exactly. We'd be looking for those developments, those different angles on the idea of God as creator that emerge over time. Dr. Rada even points out that if your timeline for when certain books were written differs, say, with the book of Job, that could change where you start your tracing.
Oh, interesting. So there could be some debate about the order, but the principle of following the idea through history remains the same.
Exactly. And Dr. Rada then brings in some other key theologians who built on this approach. Mm-hmm. He mentions 19th century thinkers like Hermann Schultz, Gerhard Voss, yes, the same Voss we mentioned before, and E.J. Young.
So they were all on board with this idea of biblical theology as tracing God's revelation through history.
Right. They emphasize that it's about understanding God's revelation, the experiences of the people who received it, and the nature of the Bible as a written word. And all of this while holding to the belief that the Bible is divinely inspired.
So there's this blend of careful scholarship and a deep reverence for the text as God's word.
Yeah, definitely. And then Dr. Rada circles back to the distinction between biblical and systematic theology, just to really drive it home. He says that while both rely on the biblical text and careful interpretation, they approach it in different ways.
Remind me again, how so?
Well, systematic theology tends to organize truth topically, you know, like focusing on specific doctrines.
Like the doctrine of the Trinity or the problem of evil, things like that.
Exactly. But biblical theology follows the historical unfolding of God's revelation. It's about tracing the story through the different eras, from the patriarchs to Moses, the prophets, and ultimately leading up to the coming of Christ.
Got it. So it's a different way of slicing the pie, so to speak.
Ah, great analogy. Now, Dr. Rada then introduces another really important figure, G.E. Wright, who made this famous statement. God is not only the God of covenant, but also the Lord of history.
Okay, what's the significance of that statement? Why did he feel the need to say that?
Well, Dr. Rada explains that Wright was reacting against some theological trends at the time, especially in Europe, that were downplaying the historical reality of certain events in the Bible.
Like what?
Well, for example, some scholars were acknowledging the theological significance of the Exodus, but they didn't necessarily believe it actually happened as described in the Bible.
Oh, I see. They were separating the theological meaning from the historical event.
Right, and Wright was pushing back against that. He was saying that God reveals himself through his actions in history. You can't separate the two.
So for Wright, history isn't just a backdrop. It's the stage where God's drama unfolds.
Exactly. God's self-disclosure, his way of showing us who he is embedded in those historical events.
That makes a lot of sense. And then Dr. Rada brings up Gerhard von Rad, right?
Yep. He acknowledges von Rad's view that the Old Testament is a historical book and that Israel's faith was rooted in a theology of history.
So they agree on that point. But I know von Rad is also known for some more controversial views, right?
Definitely. And Dr. Rada doesn't shy away from that. He highlights a more debated aspect of von Rad's perspective, which is his focus on what Israel believed had happened, rather than affirming the strict historical accuracy of every detail.
So he's more interested in how Israel interpreted events and their faith response, even if their understanding wasn't always perfectly aligned with what actually happened.
That's the gist of it. And Dr. Rada points out that there's some potential tension there, you know, because sometimes what people believe might not fully match up with God's actions or his fuller revelation.
Okay, so that's a key difference. Dr. Rutter then contrasts this with a scholar named Terry Ann, who takes a very different approach.
Right. Terry Ann focuses more on the Bible as literature, sometimes analyzing it purely from a literary perspective without necessarily affirming its historical basis.
So for someone like Terry Ann, you could study the themes and narratives of the Bible without actually believing in the historical reality of the events.
Precisely. And Dr. Rada makes it clear that this is a different approach from the theological perspective they've been exploring. Then he brings in Walter Kaiser, who takes a strong stance on the importance of history.
Kaiser would say that we can't truly know God apart from his actions in history, right?
Right. He argues that history isn't just the background, but the very basis through which God makes himself known. And Dr. Rada also touches on Westerman and Clemens, who acknowledge the Bible as literature, but also recognize its historical dimension.
So we're seeing this ongoing discussion about how history and theology relate to each other in our understanding of the Old Testament.
Exactly. And it's a crucial discussion. Now, Dr. Rada then shifts gears a bit and starts talking about some current models of Old Testament theology. He starts with the typological model.
Oh, I've heard of that. That's the one associated with von Rad and Eichrott, right? Mm-hmm. The idea of looking for types and foreshadowings in the Old Testament that point towards Christ.
You got it. It's about seeing those connections, those patterns that anticipate what will be fulfilled in Jesus.
Cool. And then there's the Heilsgeschichte model, right? The history of salvation.
Yes. And Dr. Rada notes that this is very closely linked to the idea of biblical theology itself. It's all about tracing how God's saving work unfolds throughout history, from the beginning right up to the present.
So both of these models have that strong emphasis on the historical dimension.
They do. And then Dr. Rada brings up some other approaches as well. He mentions Frey's narrative approach, which he acknowledges isn't generally accepted by evangelical believers, but might offer some helpful insights into how the Old Testament tells its story.
And he also talks about Lindbergh's cultural linguistic method, which is part of that post-liberal or narrative theology movement.
Right. Lindbergh focuses on the cultural context embedded within the biblical narratives and how that shapes our understanding. Then we have Gottwald, who takes a very different route.
Gottwald's the one who uses a Marxist framework, right?
Yep. He uses Marxist analysis to interpret early Israelite history as a kind of peasant revolt against oppression.
I can see why that would be controversial.
Definitely. It's about reading ancient history through a very modern ideological lens. And Dr. Rada rightly points out that this approach is highly debated.
So we're seeing a wide range of perspectives here, some more accepted than others. And then, of course, we can't forget about Jewish biblical theology, which Dr. Rada also addresses.
Absolutely. He highlights the shared foundation in the Hebrew Bible, but also the fundamental differences in how messianic prophecies are understood.
Yeah, that's a key dividing line. Jews and Christians both see the same texts, but they come to very different conclusions about their ultimate meaning.
Exactly. He even tells a little anecdote about a professor and a rabbi discussing the book of Romans to illustrate this.
A shared text, but the divergent interpretations. Fascinating.
It is. And then Dr. Rada makes this really interesting point. He says that even though they might not have used the exact phrase Old Testament theology, many key figures throughout church history were actually doing what we would now recognize as biblical theology.
You mean they were thinking about the Old Testament in light of Christ and how God's revelation unfolded through history?
Exactly. He mentions the early church fathers like Irenaeus, Origen, and Augustine, as well as later thinkers like Aquinas and the Reformers, Luther, and Calvin.
Wow, so this approach has deep roots in Christian thought.
It does. He even points to Calvin's Institutes as an example of a systematic theology that's grounded in a deep understanding of the Bible's story.
That's really cool. So this isn't just some newfangled idea. It's built on centuries of careful reflection on the scriptures.
Right. And then Dr. Rada moves to a question that has sparked a lot of debate among scholars. Is there a central theme, a center to the Old Testament?
That's a big one. And I bet there are a lot of different answers to that question.
You bet. He starts by introducing Walter Eichrott, who argued that there is a center. Eichrott identified it as the relationship between God and people, God in the world, God in humanity.
So it's all about that relationship dynamic.
Exactly. But Dr. Rada also points out that Eichrott was pretty critical of systematic theologians. He felt that the Old Testament doesn't really present doctrine in that neat, topical way that systematic theologies often do.
So while he keeps God at the heart of things, his overall approach might differ in some ways from more traditional perspectives.
Right. But one area where Eichrecht's view has been really influential is his emphasis on the idea of covenant as a central theme in Old Testament theology.
Oh, right, the covenants.
Yes.
Like with Noah, Abraham, Moses, and David.
Exactly. He saw those covenants as key moments in the unfolding story, and he argued that they ultimately point towards the new covenant in the New Testament.
Which, of course, is fulfilled in Jesus Christ.
Precisely. And that connection to the New Testament is crucial. Remember how we talked about how Christians approach the Old Testament through the lens of Christ?
Yeah, it's all connected.
Right. So this idea that Jesus himself instituted the new covenant at the Last Supper, and that believers today live under this new covenant, it makes Eichrecht's focus on the covenant narrative super compelling for many Christians.
I see. It ties everything together. And then Dr. Rada brings in Theodorus C. Vreeson, who had a slightly different take, right?
He did. Vreeson's central idea was God's communion with human beings, which takes us all the way back to the Garden of Eden and that initial relationship between God and humanity.
So for Vreeson, it's all about that relational aspect.
Exactly. And he, like Eichrecht, also emphasized that while Old Testament theology has its own integrity, it needs to be understood in light of the New Testament to get the full picture.
It's all part of the same story, ultimately.
Right. And then Dr. Rada brings us back to G.E. Wright, reminding us of his focus on the unity of Scripture based on history as the place where God reveals himself and acts.
Right. That emphasis on the historical dimension.
Yep. Wright actually agreed with Eichrecht on the importance of the covenant, and he also stressed the inseparable link between history, archaeology, and careful interpretation of the text.
So you can't just ignore history or archaeology when you're trying to understand the Bible.
Definitely not, according to Wright. And then we revisit Gerhard von Rad with his focus on the big picture of faith confessions, the prophets, and the history of salvation, that Hausgeschichte concept.
But we also have to remember those areas where he diverges from other scholars, right?
Absolutely. His skepticism towards systematic theology, his more nuanced view of the historical accuracy of certain biblical narratives, it sets him apart. And Dr. Rada reminds us that von Rad didn't buy into Eichrecht's idea of a single unifying center for the Old Testament.
So even on that fundamental question, there's disagreement. Fascinating.
It is. And then we get to Walter Zimmerli, who presents a view that many contemporary scholars agree with.
And what's Zimmerli's take?
He says that God himself is the center of Old Testament theology.
Okay, that makes sense. It all comes back to God in the end.
Right. But Zimmerli also gives us this interesting caution. He says we shouldn't just equate historical events with God's direct revelatory word.
So not every event in the Bible is God speaking directly.
That's his point. He suggests that it's often in the midst of crises or those big turning points in history that people are most attuned to hearing God's voice.
So history provides the context, but it's those key moments that really open us up to what God might be saying.
Exactly. Great insight. Right. And then Dr. Rada moves on to Klaus Westermann, who argues that we should structure our understanding of Old Testament theology around the major events of the narrative rather than getting bogged down in abstract theological concepts.
So focus on the story, on what happened.
Right. He sees the Old Testament narrative as true, and he highlights this theme of blessing as a key overarching idea, starting all the way back in Genesis 1.28.
Blessing. That's a powerful concept.
It is. And Westermann sees it as something continuous, something that extends potentially to all of creation, which connects to the idea of God's common grace.
So even those who aren't part of the covenant community still experience God's blessing in some way.
Exactly. And Dr. Rada notes that Westermann's approach is helpful because it acknowledges that there's an inherent mystery to God's ways. We can't always fit everything into neat theological boxes.
It's a reminder to approach this with a bit of humility.
For sure. And finally, we get to Brevard Childs, who's known for his canonical approach, which gained traction in the 80s and 90s.
Canonical approach.
Yeah. So while Childs engaged with those more critical views on the historical accuracy of the Old Testament, he also made this really valuable contribution. He pointed out that biblical theology and the theology of the church have developed together. They're intertwined.
That makes sense. After all, it was the church that ultimately recognized and affirmed the canon of Scripture.
Exactly. And Childs defined the canon as the received, collected, and interpreted body of texts for the church. He emphasizes that interpreted part, highlighting that it's not just about a static collection of books, but how the community of faith has understood and engaged with those texts throughout history.
But it's a living tradition.
Right. And Dr. Rada explains this further, talking about how certain traditions within Judaism and early Christianity were recognized as authoritative, and how the text of the Bible was eventually stabilized.
And he uses the example of the apocryphal books.
Okay. Exactly. Those books weren't included in the Protestant canon because they weren't widely accepted by the church as having that same level of authority.
So the canon is about more than just historical accident. It's about a process of discernment and recognition by the community of faith.
Absolutely. And then Dr. Rada gets into Childs's view on the relationship between the Old and New Testaments. Childs emphasizes how interconnected they are, each one essential for understanding the other.
I mean, that's something we've been talking about this whole time, right? How Christians can't really understand the Old Testament apart from Christ.
Right. But Childs puts it in a really interesting way. He talks about the Old and New Testaments having two very different voices.
That's thought-provoking.
It is. But Dr. Rada offers a slight nuance to that. He suggests it might be more accurate to think of it as the same voice, but speaking from different points in time, before Christ's coming and after his arrival.
So it's a matter of perspective, of where we're standing in this story.
Exactly. And he brings it all back to the task of the biblical theologian, which is to understand the Old Testament as pointing forward to the Christ who was to come, and the New Testament as revealing the Christ who has come.
It's all about Jesus, ultimately.
It is. And Dr. Rada even quotes Jesus himself from Luke 24, where Jesus is explaining to his disciples on the road to Emmaus how the scriptures, the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms were all about him.
So it's not just later Christians reading Christ back into the Old Testament. Jesus himself saw it that way.
Exactly. And then Dr. Rada reiterates that both biblical theology, with its historical focus, and dogmatic theology, with its topical organization, are valuable tools for helping us hear the living voice of God in Scripture.
They both have their place.
They do. And finally, he summarizes Child's canonical criticism, highlighting those key elements: God's intervention in history, the rise of religious writings in response, their acceptance and shaping by the community of faith, and ultimately their canonization as the authoritative way for believers to understand God's actions.
Wow, that's a lot to take in.
It is. But hopefully this deep dive has given you a clear understanding of some of the key ideas and approaches within Old Testament theology. And it's all thanks to the great material you sent our way.
Yeah. This lecture from Dr. Rada was truly fascinating. We've explored so many different perspectives today, all wrestling with that big question of what's at the heart of the Old Testament. Is it God himself? Is it the covenant relationship? Is it God's communion with humanity? Or that overarching theme of blessing?
Right. So many different ways of looking at it. And I think that raises a really interesting question for you, our listener, to ponder. Which of these ideas resonates most deeply with your understanding of the Old Testament?
And why do you think that is? What unique insights might each of these emphases offer into God's ongoing relationship with humanity throughout history? It's something worth really reflecting on.
Absolutely. So thanks again for sharing this incredible lecture with us and for joining us on this deep dive. We always love exploring these topics with you, and we encourage you to keep sending us more material you'd like us to unpack. We'll be here ready to dive in.